You've probably heard the headlines that Super Bowl party staples like wings, beer, and guacamole will cost a little more this year, thanks to an inflation rate that has hit a 40-year high. And the White House clearly is feeling the political pressure. In an interview last night, President Biden tried to back away from his message that inflation is temporary. NBC's Lester Holt pressed him on that.
I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit, and I understand that's your job.
Now, our job is to talk about the week in politics today with our two White House reporters for our Friday roundtable. Eugene Daniels is with Politico. Eugene, good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Scott Detrow is with NPR. Scott, happy Friday.
Hey, you too.
Eugene, let me start with you. We all know the political cliche, courtesy of James Carville. It's the economy, stupid. When the economy sags, the fortunes of the incumbent sag. Now, President Biden says growth is strong, wages are up. That's all true. But is inflation a big reason this is not getting through to voters?
Absolutely, because inflation affects the actual prices of things. And for a while, you know, and Scott and I have been in the briefing room together where Jen Psaki has kind of basically laughed off at times, scoffed early on in kind of the inflation rise that this was happening as Republicans kind of glommed onto it and talked about it a lot. The White House didn't talk so much about it. And so they have obviously had to change that as it's sticking around for a lot longer. You know, I was talking to a White House official yesterday. And there's some frustration in the White House that they feel like all of this is on them when they think that there's so many outside pressures that deal with inflation, right? This is a global problem that you have, supply chain issues that are causing some of this. They also look at the money that was spent during the Trump administration, the trillions of dollars spent in the during the Trump administration, some of that for COVID that also added to inflation. And so they feel like they're getting a lot of the bad rap, but it doesn't matter,
yeah,
right? Because Americans look at the White House as, okay, what are you going to do about this? And so now what they're trying to push is trying to focus on lowering the costs of other things, looking at how can they nibble around the edges to make money go stretch longer in households. And also continually saying to reporters and to us that outside experts are saying it's only going to last to the end of the year, which is a long time.
And
goes
and much longer
In an election year, for sure.
Exactly.
Scott, let me ask you about options. Moody's Analytics estimates the average American is now paying $276 per month more because of inflation. A lot of economists say there tends to be no soft landing from inflation. You know, there could be a recession. What options does the White House have?
Well, I think, and Eugene is definitely right, that when Joe Biden said that Lester Holt was being a wise guy, Lester Holt was accurately framing how the White House talked about this for months and months and months. And now they're in a tricky spot because this, quote, transitory inflation is sticking around, will stick around for a while. And you know, raising interest rates and the Federal Reserve and things like that are very delicate ways to deal with this that can have all sorts of other ripple effects in the economy. It's a tricky spot right now because on one hand, there are a lot of other really good indicators, a lot of jobs gained, unemployment getting lower and lower.
Yep.
And the argument is that, like, look, the emergency spending, the rescue package that was the first big legislative win that Biden got, there were outside warnings that it could increase inflation. The White House dismissed them. It seems like it did. But their argument is that, look, it did a lot of other good things as well, and the overall economy would be a lot worse without it. But we have seen so many election cycles where the argument that it would have been worse if not for the thing I did that made it slightly better is not exactly a super compelling argument to voters, even if it's true.
So, Eugene, the Biden administration has said that they can ease some of this pain if they can only pass parts of the Build Back Better plan to help people, help them afford childcare and prescription drugs. But it's a member of Biden's own party, Senator Joe Manchin, that's a little bit of an obstacle here. Manchin told Metro News of West Virginia he's not budging.
The bottom line is right now we're not in a financial position to do it, just like you are in your own family when you make decisions what you can and can't do.
So, Eugene, how much time do the Democrats have here?
Almost none. Joe Manchin has said for months and months about it and talked about his concerns about inflation. When the news came out this week, he released a statement saying, you know, I've been ringing the alarm bell for months on this. And so he feels, I think he's, you know, banging on his chest a little bit, saying that, hey, I was right. This isn't going to be something that goes away quickly. And it just means that he's going to stick his feet in the sand even more when he's saying that he's not going to pass BBB, that he's worried about putting, you know, $1.8 trillion passing that level of a bill. So you're not going to see him move on that, I think. But there are little things that he wants to do. He talked about raising taxes, which is a way to, you know, according to economic experts, to get some money back into or get some money into the economy to help with inflation. And so those are some things that he is, I think, willing to do. But the all the other dreams that Democrats had about BBB, BBB is dead. It is not coming back. Will they be able to pass some of those other things and nibble around the edges? Possibly. But that all that's up to Joe Manchin, really, and no one else.
Scott, let's turn to an issue that seems very much alive. That is former President Trump, and let's call it Documentgate. Today's Washington Post reports that former President Trump took top secret materials to Mar-a-Lago after he left the White House. There are calls for the Justice Department to investigate. There's a lot of reporting on this, including reportedly flushing down some documents down the toilet in the White House residence. How seriously, Scott, should people take this?
Well, I think it's certainly serious directly when it comes to I think the first place this will manifest itself is whatever the House committee investigating January 6 is going to do with this information as they try to put together a comprehensive look at what actually happened that day. There have been reports that the phone logs are incomplete as they try to piece together, you know, who Donald Trump was on the phone with during those many hours where he encouraged this attack on the Capitol and certainly did nothing to stop it. I mean, I think when it comes to investigating and moving forward with any sort of criminal probe into whether laws were broken, I think that is such a tricky political question that you're seeing play out in a lot of different places. You know, Donald Trump was running for president chanting, "Lock him up," and there are so many flashing red signs when you look at former presidents or political figures being investigated or charged. But at the same time, if laws were concretely broken, you know, legal officials have to take a look at that. So we know already that the New York district, you know, that there are investigations of Trump underway in New York State. We know that in Atlanta, there's a prosecutor and a grand jury taking a look at the pressure he put on the Secretary of State around the election. This adds a third factor of really serious allegations.
I think Scott meant to say that Donald Trump was chanting, "Lock her up." We do remember what Trump said in 2016 when it came to criticizing Hillary Clinton for using that private email server.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So, Eugene, whether this is a legal liability or not, is it a political liability for Trump?
Oh, absolutely not. in the Republican Party, there's almost nothing that he could do at this point to turn leadership off on him, I think. We've seen, you know, through January 6th, how quickly they got back on board on the Trump train, how they are moving at the whims of him, trying to guess how he would want them to react to things because they don't have the Twitter of his to signal so many things. And I think, you know, something when you're talking about those call logs that they're also possibly missing is something that we know that Donald Trump used a personal cell phone at times, that he would use the cell phone of people around him to talk to folks. And so that's one thing that's really important when people are thinking about that is that day he may not have used any kind of an official White House phone that is his. And also it seems like, you know, the archives has not sent everything that they have. So that might help shake some of that out. But this is something a lot of people are going to look at. The House Oversight Committee is saying they're looking at some of the documents, those 15 boxes of White House documents that were missing and that were at Mar-a-Lago. So there's a lot of things coming at him, but politically, there's almost nothing he could do that would change his fate with the Republican Party at this point, I think. It's hard to see it.
I mean,
well, let's talk about the politics, Scott, of COVID. Democratic governors in many states are relaxing mask mandates. We spoke to one governor on our show today. The White House this week tried to beat back questions that the federal government, the CDC, is falling behind the states. We're hearing the administration may want to shift gears, get a new message out on coronavirus. Are you hearing anything about that?
I think the White House has been trying to walk this dynamic where suddenly Democratic governors in very liberal states are distancing themselves and loosening mandates. I think for a long time, a big chunk of the country has been over this and not really thinking about masks or wearing masks. And now increasingly you have states like New Jersey, New York, and in varying degrees putting that in place. For the moment, the White House is sticking to its messaging, but I think that's going to be increasingly tricky, especially as Democrats on the ballot this year read the polls and see that a lot of Americans of both parties at this point are ready to move on.
That is Scott Detrow, NPR White House correspondent, and we've been talking to Eugene Daniels of Politico. Thanks to you both.
Sure thing.
Have a good one.